Good morning, Church on the Rock.
Good morning,
all right, I'm a little loud because the mic's a little loud. Turn it down just a little bit. I forgot to do my mic check, but that wasn't loud enough. I was just over there with the kids, and they was back there doing some hallelujah song, and I mean, it was crazy. So, like, I'm coming from their energy. I want that energy in here. Good morning, Church on the Rock.
Good morning,
Rashad. Yeah, there we go, there we go. My name's Rashad Cunningham. I'm the pastor here at Church on the Rock. To those of you who are first-time guests, we thank you for being here. We truly believe it is God who has walked you through this door. It has nothing to do with our neat little sign out there, nothing to do with all of our different ministries, but God himself has put it on your heart to be here this morning. So we thank God and we thank you for being here with us. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2 today. Ephesians chapter 2, as we get ready to start our month-long series called Building His Body, Breaking Our Barriers, building his body, breaking our barriers. I love that because I just think of Bruce Lee, like, yeah, like, you know, be one with the Wata. But this series is important to me. This is our church vision here, just to give you a little background, going off of what Josh was saying earlier. We live in a very divided world. Divided world. We live in a very divided country. And the church in many ways is very divided itself. When God gave me the privilege to pastor here at Church on the Rock, when he called me to pastor Church on the Rock, the first thing we prayed over was vision. Father, what is your vision for this church? There's things going on here. I say it all the time, but America does not see a predominantly white church pastored by a predominantly black man. I'm a full black man. but it's different, and it's something that we believe can only happen with the power of God working. Like, that's it. The only reason this is possible is because it's God's will. This is God's doing. So the building his body, breaking our barriers, a lot of it is out of Ephesians 2. And as we get ready to close the year and before we start a new year, I wanted to just stop along our journey and just kind of get back and teach some of the vision and teach some of the heart where it comes from. So building his body, breaking our barriers, that is the vision of Church on the Rock. We are building those who are believers in Jesus Christ, allowing God to build through us. The Bible says for us to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry so that they may mature into all things full in Christ, but also breaking our barriers with the community, with those who are lost, with those who don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're breaking those barriers, but at the same time, we understand that the greatest barrier that needs to be broken is that between us and God. Amen. That between us and God. That's the before we get into black, white, rich, poor, high education, low education, all these things that divide us, the first thing that actually puts us all in the same boat is the barrier between us and Jesus Christ. Barrier between us and God. So I want to start there. Ephesians 2, we're just going to read the first three verses real quick. It says, and you, and as you're reading this, do me a favor. That you, put your name there. And Rashad, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Keep going. In which you, Rashad, formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. We're going to start here. The first and the greatest barrier, the barrier that's sat between us and God. Now, in its context, Paul, in the first chapter here, Paul was talking about praying, actually, for the eyes of your hearts, the eyes of your hearts to be enlightened, the eyes of your hearts to be opened so that you could see some things. Go to Ephesians 1, 18 real quick. He said, I pray, this is Paul talking to us, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what? What is the hope of his calling? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And right here is where we're going to start. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe? These were in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, and then right here, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Paul prayed that your eyes, everybody in this room, that your eyes would be opened to the power of God. The power of God that he displayed in the resurrection of Christ. He looks at you. He says, think about this. Christ was crucified and buried, dead, right? Dead. And God raised him. Raised him with the power, with his power, he raised him to life. That's how he displayed his power. He raised him from the dead. Resurrection. It's so important to understand the power of God to be able to raise someone who was physically dead to physical life. That's God's power, right? So then he goes to Ephesians 2:1 and he says, and you were dead. And you're like, well, I'm here, Sean. I'm not dead. I'm here singing and praising God spiritually. All of us were dead. Now, let's think about that real quick. What is dead? Is it partially dead? Is it fighting for life? Is it almost dead? No, it's dead. Yeah, you guys know I have a problem with raccoons. And when you drive down some of these roads, you just see them in the middle of the street and they're dead. Do they get up and move out the way when they see a car coming? No, they're dead. Do they roll a little bit to the right or to the left? No, they're dead. You, spiritually, without Christ, you start off dead. Let that sink in. You're dead. Spiritually, you're dead. You're incapable of responding to God. You're dead. You were dead. For some of us, that were is an R. You are dead. This is where Paul starts. You're dead. And it offends us because we instantly want to jump to the logic or our pride of saying, I ain't dead. I'm living. I do good things. Like, think about that. I have a family member who does a lot of great things. She gives to the poor. She's an awesome wife. She does well by her children. She's a good citizen. She does all these great things, and she does not believe in Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Guess what? She's dead. She is spiritually dead. But Rashad, I wouldn't hurt a fly. I just don't believe in Jesus Christ. You're dead. But Rashad, what about all these other things I've done that are good? What about all these other things I've done that are right? I mean, the rest of the world looks at me and says, I'm a good person. Without Christ, you are dead. You're dead. So if we don't have the ability, because we're dead, if we don't have the ability to respond, then how would we ever respond? Paul says, look at the power of what he did with the physical. He raised the physical from death to life in Jesus Christ and looks at you and says, he has that same power for your spiritual life. Amen. He can raise you from death to life in Jesus Christ. But maybe we need to look at how dead we are. Here's the first barriers right here that block us from God, okay? That block us from God. My first point right here, you were dead in your ways. You were dead in your ways. The Bible says that right here, go back to Ephesians 2:1, please. It says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. In the Greek, the in gives you the realm of where you were dead. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. Trespasses being this. If I put up a sign that says, you can't come up on this stage, and Paige being who Paige is, some of y'all know her, is going to run up on this stage anyway. She has trespassed. She has seen a sign that says you can't come and came anyway. So these trespasses aren't accidental. If anything, these trespasses are things you've done on purpose. Trespasses are intentional. They go beyond or overstep a known boundary. That's what the Greek is for that word trespass. It's like, I know not to go right, but I'm going to go right anyway. I know not to push the red button, I'm going to push the red button anyway. You're dead in that. You're dead in the fact that you do that. You know the boundaries, you know the limits, and you still choose to trespass. You're dead in that. I've always said, when you look at the law, when you look at the 613 commandments of the Old Testament, it's like looking at a speed limit on a street and it says 0.5 miles per hour. If you want to be holy, you have to go 0.5 miles per hour. And you're like, how could I ever move and go 0.5 miles per hour in this car? Exactly. That's how holy, holy is. And therefore, if you can't do that, you are dead in your trespasses. Dead in your sins. Sins has a little bit different, is a little bit different in the Greek. Sins are literally missing the mark. This can happen accidentally. This can happen just because this is the standard of holy, and I didn't know that I missed the mark, but regardless if you knew or you didn't know, it's still sin. You missed the mark. When we had the hayride, we went out there and we were playing cornhole. And we had the bags out, and we were throwing the bags, and me and my wife was playing, and I was missing the board completely. Wasn't even getting, forget the hole. I was missing the board completely, right? But imagine this. Imagine you take that hole on a cornhole board, and you make it 10 times smaller, and you make the bags 15 times larger, and then you make the distance 15 times longer and say, get it in the hole. You're going to miss the mark every time. Matter of fact, I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to do this now. Can you come up here real quick, man? Can you come up here real quick? Dave, yep, you. Give me somebody else. Can you come up here real quick? Come up here real quick. Up here. Come on up here. Come on up here. Come on down. Here, ball that up right there. Ball that up right there. You ball that up right there. Okay. The mark that you guys are aiming for is Jason Cervisi. Right now, he is God. I don't know how that works. Jason Cervisi, our youth pastor, we're going to call him God, and you need to hit him with your toilet paper or tissue or whatever that is in the other room. So please, throw it and try to hit him now. Just throw it. Yeah, look, I don't even know which direction to throw. Sorry, Judy, they all came to you. And that's what we do sometimes. We find somebody and we make them God. But as everybody can see, just right here, they all threw it. They all missed the mark. Some, I thought one was going to go further than the other, but they must have thought Judy was God all of a sudden. I don't know how that comes up. But this is what it looks like. This is a simple illustration of what sin looks like. The mark was Jason Cervisi. They didn't even know. He might be over here right now. Like, you threw this direction thinking if it goes through the door some magical way and makes its way, put a navigator on it or whatever, he might be up here teaching right now, and we threw it all this direction. It all fell short. None of it hit him. It's not even close. And that is all of us without Christ, dead. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Y'all gonna clap for them? That is all of us without Christ. You're falling short. You're throwing your Kleenex. You're missing the mark. It's not even close. You're dead. In your trespasses, in your sins, in your attempts to be holy, you're dead. Literally, it says that you're missing God's mark. What is God's mark? Go to Romans 3:23. What is God's mark? It says, for all have sinned, fallen short of what? The glory of God. You're missing the mark of God's glory. You're falling short of God's glory. All of us. And it's amazing how we can walk in here on a Sunday morning. Some of us been saved 20, 30 years. Some of us just accepted Christ a couple weeks ago. And we want to look at each other like it's something we did that makes us a better Christian than the one that just came in. And now, boom, we've put a barrier up. How do you break those barriers? Remember, you were dead. So while you're looking at that Christian who just started their walk and looking at how short they keep falling, remember who you were. You were dead. You didn't even know what direction to throw the tissue. You were dead, falling short. You're not better than the brand new Christian or the one who's struggling. You were dead. You didn't do nothing about that. He did. But we put barriers up based on our righteousness or how good we do or how far we've come, as if it's something we've done when we were dead. It is by grace that you even have life. So there's a barrier that we need to break by remembering that you were dead. When people come in here and they don't know Christ, they don't know Jesus, they don't know God, they don't know what the Old Testament is and the New Testament is, we want to look at them funny like there's something wrong with them. Remember, you were dead. Well, but Rashad, I've been saved since I was 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I don't know how that works, but I'm just counting. But this doesn't say you were dead based on your knowledge of the Bible, or how long you were saved. No, you were dead. Period. That's how you, like, you came out the womb like born dead. We like to run around and say, we're all children of God. That is a lie. We are all God's creation. Yes, we are. We are all God's creation. But we ain't all children of God. Some of us are dead. So how can you put yourself above or look down or frown up or what? If anything, I'm trying to come along my brother, my sister, whether they know Christ or not, and say, hey, here's my testimony. I was dead. I was dead, but God, not me. Because they're going to look at me and say, well, Rashad, I can't preach or I can't get in front of people like, hey, none of that means nothing. I was dead. You were dead. You have to really take that in, because this will be what saves your marriage. This will be what allows you to hold on to your parenting. This will be what allows you to give grace to your coworkers when you realize this was you. You were dead. You want to give up on your spouse because they're not living a godly, holy life and all that? You were dead too. If anything, I want to grace them and love them the same way he loved me when I was dead. But you got to remember who you were. You got to know who you were. Sometimes we don't sing or shout or hallelujah, and I'm not saying you have to do all that, but why wouldn't you if you realized you were dead? Why wouldn't you? If you really truly believed that you were dead, you were that raccoon in the road, you couldn't move out your own way, why would you not rejoice? Give me Matthew 5:48 real quick. Matthew 5:48 says, therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the mark if you want to earn your righteousness. If you want to say, Rashad, I was dead, but I got myself together, I'm going to look at you and say, so you were perfect. Well, I mean, there was that time on the way to church this morning, I did. Nah, you were perfect. Well, I mean, outside of this one, no, you were perfect. If you break one law, you break them all. That's the Bible, right? Okay, so who in here is perfect? Show of hands, please. Please. Because if I don't see no hands, then that barrier should be broken. We can't be looking down on anybody else that walks through these doors who need Jesus Christ. We can't be walking down on anybody who's joined this church who's not where we want them to be. We got to let those barriers go down, because you know what? You're called to be perfect. Were you perfect? Are you perfect? No, you're not. And without perfection, that makes you dead. Dead. Spiritually, you are dead. My next point. So the first barrier there, you were dead in your ways. My next point, point two, says you were devilish in your walk. You were devilish in your walk. Verse 2, Ephesians 2, verse 2 says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. So that word, their course, it would be better translated according to the age of this world, the era of this world, a distinct time period, the era, the system of Satan, according to the system of Satan. That's the course of this world, the system of Satan. You were walking, you were dead, so if you're in a stream, you're not swimming any way that you choose. It's just bringing you along according to the course of the system, right? You ever been in a lazy river, and you just sit in the tube and it just takes you where the river goes? That's how you're dead. You're not paddling, you're not doing nothing, you're dead. You're going according to the system, according to the system of Satan, the course of this world. So what is that? Well, TV, music, stuff that your friends are telling you and how to deal with your relationships and your marriages and your finances. It's whatever the world tells you to do. You were walking in that. Who cares what the Bible says? My friend said, or like we just threw all the tissue to Judy, so Judy, whatever you say goes for me. Who cares what the Bible says? Because I'm throwing my tissue at you thinking that you're the mark and not, well, Jason is not God, so that does not work good at all. But you get what I'm saying. We'll take, like in that illustration, we would take Judy and allow Judy's voice to mean more than God's word. A lot of us got friends that we run to before we run to God's word. A lot of us are doing things right now that go against God's word because the world says it's okay. The world's like, oh, it's okay that you're shacking up. It's easier that way. Y'all eventually gonna get married, right? The Bible says, hey, avoid that because I'm God and that's my word. Amen. Well, that doesn't seem reasonable. I'm God and that's my word. Well, that it makes it harder on the relation. I'm God, and that's my word. I put this together. How you gonna tell me what's best for you? I know your desires. I gave them to you. I can take care of those desires. Like, remember, trespass is going past a boundary, right? Going past a known limit. I gave you your sexual desires. I gave them to you. They're not bad until you go outside of the limits that I put in place. Man, woman, marry. I gave you your appetite, Rashad. I gave that to you. I know you hungry, but you ain't got to be hangry. Like, bro, eat a plate and go. Man, but God, like, it's a buffet though, bro, like. But let's just we laughed at that, but let's just keep it real. That's what it is in every area of our life. Here's the standard I gave you. Here's the limitations. Here's the boundaries I gave you. I know you have those desires. They're God-given desires. Sex is not bad. Eating's not bad. These things aren't bad until you step out and you're having sex before marriage or you're in a homosexual sexual relationship. Then you step out of his parameters. Devilish in your walk. Because the world said, it's okay. It's okay for you to be that way. I know what the Bible says, but God will understand. So it says, according to the course of this world, that's Satan's system, according to the prince of the power of air, that is Satan himself, the prince of the power of the air, and then it says right here, and of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. You see that word right there, now? The spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. This is how you were walking. This was your devilish walk. You was letting the world tell you what to do. You was letting Satan himself tell you what to do. And the spirit or the influence that he has over the air, the power of the air right there, that is now working in the sons of disobedience. That word working in the Greek is where we get our word energy from. It's where we get all our energy from. It is going to, it's an energy that is going to have its intended effect. So if it's working, if this is working in you, it's going to do exactly what it's supposed to do, disobey God. This is what you were walking in. This is what you were walking in. This is what you come from. I mean, think about your life real quick. Just think back. Think back to your life before Christ. Do you remember how you had no nothing for God? Just whatever the world said, whatever the times were, whatever was lit, whatever was on point, this is what you were doing. Whatever you wanted to do because it felt good, because it sounded good, lust of the eyes, because it looked good, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life type of thing. This is what you were, walking in your devilish ways. It put a barrier between you and God. It puts a barrier between us and those who we judge, acting like this is not who we were. That's why when people come in and they're down and they're out, I start off with my testimony to let them know I'm not talking down to you, brother. I'm talking across the table to you because I formerly was exactly where you were. Are. So then my last point here, next verse, well, yeah. You were dirty in your works. So you were dead in your ways. You were devilish in your walk. And you were dirty in your works. Go to verse 3 real quick. Verse 3, we look at it. It says, among them too, we too all formerly, among them too, we. So look at this. Paul was saying you, right? Now he includes himself. He says, among them too, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, children of wrath. So the lust, this is what we were talking about. The lust is those passions that take you past God's intended boundaries. When you lust for someone or something, you're taking these desires that God has given you, and you're taking them way past what they're supposed to be. This is dirty. It's one of those things where when he says children of wrath, like you see that word children by nature, children of wrath, intended for wrath, God's wrath that is. And people, this is where I get people. They're like, well, God is love. Well, part of his love is his wrath. Like, if he's not perfect in his wrath, then you're going to have a God that is responding to you like a hothead. And then we all dead. but part of his love is his wrath. I mean, it doesn't change. The things he has wrath for, sin, disobedience to his law, that doesn't change because the world says it's okay. That doesn't change because it's convenient. That doesn't change because it feels good. It remains the same, God's wrath. Thank God for Christ. Because here's the thing. You'll get the question, well, why did Jesus have to go to the cross? Because his wrath had to be met. You didn't get off the hook. Jesus took it for you. So let's think about that. You're dirty in your works from the moment you were shaped. Psalm 51:5. Look what David says here. It says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. That's from the womb. That's from the womb. And look at Isaiah 64:6 real quick. Look at this. This is for those who say, but I do a whole bunch of good things. Look at this. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. Not to get too nasty, but it's literally a bloody menstrual rag. Your righteous deeds, when you do all of your good things that you're doing, don't believe in Christ, could care less about God, but you're doing all these good things. You know what they look like to God? Like a bloody menstrual rag, dirty, tainted in filth. That's who you were. That's who I was. That's who some of you are. Do you believe that? I mean, do you actually believe that? That spiritually, without Christ, this is what you look like to God. This is why I tell people all the time, it's not your righteousness. You're not good because of your righteousness. Righteousness means right standing. You have no right standing before God. You don't have it. You don't have any right standing before God. Christ does. And if you believe in him as your Lord and Savior, then he sees his son instead of seeing you. So when we look at the barriers that exist in the church, first of all, between believers, between actual believers, people who say they believe in the same Jesus Christ for the same, people who have accepted Christ because they believe that they were dead, devilish, and dirty, then how can I lose my patience with you, man? How can I talk down to you, Lynn? How can I not suffer and come alongside you? How can I not mourn with you and share your burdens, knowing I come from the same place, and if I'm a little further on my walk, it's just because of the grace of God? How can I not be more patient with you? How can I not give you the benefit of the doubt? If I really believe that this is what I was, if I really believe that, then how can we not love each other knowing what he's overcome in each one of us? No wonder people come in this church, in any church in America, and say, y'all can't even get along with each other. And you want me to come here about this God you talk about, this Jesus you talk about? But y'all can't even get along with each other? Y'all can't even forgive each other? And you think I really believe you're going to forgive me and look past my faults? Because when I'm coming in here dead, when I'm coming in here devilish, when I'm coming in here dirty, guess what? I don't have it together. And I'm probably going to offend you in some ways because I just don't know. I don't even know which way to throw the tissue because I don't even know who Jesus is. I came in here expecting you to show me who he is. But instead, I come in here and I just see more of what's out there. Division, barriers. That's all I see. That's all I see. And I'm broken because the lost will remain lost. So how do you truly feel about this? I want you to really just stop for a moment. Think about other believers. Think about those who aren't believers and think about the barriers you're allowing because you've forgotten who you were. There's people in this church right now, today. Look around. Somebody in this church is currently in this state. They are currently dead. They're currently devilish. They are currently dirty. And they're here pleading for us through love, the same love we received. Through patience, through long suffering, through grace, through mercy, to lead them to Christ so that he can do his work. But we're too busy looking at each other trying to determine who's more undead than the other. Don't you see? It was the power of God that raised you spiritually, not you. Not your church attendance, not your serving in ministry, not how many times you do this or do that. None of that. That is works-based salvation. Don't get me wrong. Real faith is not unemployed. Real faith works, but you don't work for your salvation. The work is a result of what's going on inside of you. So how can we go to that next step and really take this vision, Church on the Rock, or any other church that you're from? How can you take the fact that God set it up so that if you really think about it, none of your ethnicity doesn't matter, your bank account doesn't matter, nothing matters because we were all dead. We were all dead. At this point, I can look at the homosexual brother or sister and say, hey, I ain't got to condemn you. I was dead too. I'm telling you, you got to fight your desires the same way I got to fight mine. There's things in that Bible that don't add up to what I like as well. Because of my flesh, because of my desires, because of my lust, because of my wanting to indulge. And I'm coming alongside you instead of putting up a barrier and saying, we can fight these desires together. So I want us to build this body. I want us to break these barriers. I want us to let the gospel be the gospel. I want people to start sharing their real testimonies. Not the resume testimony. The real testimony. The testimony you would get if you did a background check. Because that's what people need to hear. That I was really dead. That I was really dead. As we get ready to close out, that's what I want to do real quick. I want to share my testimony because we have lots of new people coming. Lots of new people have come. And we're going to do something a little different today. The same way we did announcements a little different. Our giving today is going to be different. We're going to ask that we got two baskets over there. Just drop it in the basket on your way out. Churches say don't do that because then giving won't be what it is. I don't care today. Because here it is. There was a time when mama used to drag me to church. Mama used to drag me to church. Had to drag me to church. And because of my spiritual deadness, I wasn't hearing the pastor. I was sleeping during the preaching. And honestly, the church folks that I saw, they weren't living none of that stuff anyway. So it was all fake to me. And I was dead. And my life, and I thought I did a whole bunch of good things. I thought I was a good son. I was decent. I got in a lot of trouble in school, but just blamed it on being a teenager. That's what I did. Then I got older, and I got married to my beautiful wife, and I just dogged her every which way I could. And I had a daughter, and I thought I was going to be this great, awesome father, but I didn't have nothing to do with my daughter for the first 5 years of her life because I was dead, y'all. Because that's the way it felt good to me. It felt good to put me first. It felt good to indulge in my desires. It felt good. Remember, this is living. This is by choice. It felt good to be dead. It felt good to be devilish. It felt good to be dirty because nobody took the time to come alongside me and show me what life looked like. Nobody took the time to show me what Christ looked like. So I remained dirty. I remained a terrorist in this community, honestly. And then God came. Next week, we'll start on this next verse, but it says, but God, after all of this of what it tells you what you were, it doesn't say, but Brittany, or but Justin, or but Lucy, or but Tyler. It doesn't say, but any of you. It says, but God. But God. While we were dead, while we were devilish, while we were dirty, but God made you clean. Took your unrighteousness, your filthy menstrual rags, and made you clean. Washed you with the blood of his son so that you could have life. And life is simply fellowship with the Father forever. Death is separated from him. He wants you in fellowship with him so much that he gave his son for your spiritual life. So I'm only up here by that grace, by that mercy, by that sacrifice, by that love. Without him, I don't love y'all the way I need to. I'm manipulating something. Without him, there's something unrighteous about everything I'm doing. Without Christ, without his spirit dwelling in me. Look around. Literally, look around you right now. What barriers are up that should not be up if you are truly alive in Christ? Look around. Just look around. I see your faces every Sunday, and I can't hold no grudges against you. I can't put no walls up against you. I can't put nothing that he broke down back up. So as we get ready to close this out, this is what I want from you. I just want you to sit and listen to the words of this song. Just sit and truly worship. Truly let the words speak to you. Remember who you were, or maybe consider who you are. And know that nobody in this church is looking down on you. If you need to get up and you need to find out more about Christ, come talk to me now. Because we have no barriers. We know that we were there as well. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, we would still be dead, devilish, and dirty. But God made us clean. So we're going to have Tyler sing. But ignore Tyler singing and listen to the words that God is pushing out through her gift. And allow it to speak to you individually. Whether you're not clean and you need Jesus to cleanse you, or whether you are clean and you've forgotten how far he's brought you, listen right now and let it minister to your souls so these barriers can come down and so that God can have his way in this church. When we're finished, we'll dismiss with prayer. I love you all.
I see shadow, and you see more. I see broken, and you see beautiful. And you're helping me to be.
Thank you this morning just for allowing us to gather in your name. Father, we thank you for making us clean. I ask today, Father, that your message, your word, it remains in us. That we remember who we were. That we remember that we were not clean, Father, if it was not for your Son. That we actually believe that we were separated from you, God, with no hope if it were not for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I'm asking that somebody in this room today who does not know you, Father, somebody who realizes that they want to raise a relationship with you, Father, that they come directly to you, Father. That they receive your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior. And that you continue to add to the souls of the kingdom and make them clean. Father, bless the travels of everyone as they go home. And may we go out, Father, and pull down any barriers we've put up with anybody in this world and continue to show people the spiritual life you offer so freely, Father, that we have by your grace, by your mercy, by your love. May we win more people for you simply because we love the fellowship that we have with you and we want others to have it as well. Father, bless the offering. Bless the kids in the back. We thank you. We do not take these moments for granted. Thank you for making us clean, Father. It's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Hey, thank you guys for being here. We appreciate you. I love you all. Be safe leaving. God is good, y'all.